Hi, everybody, and welcome to Joint Air Christian Lifestyle. Shane Fritz here with you today. Super excited to be bringing another episode to you. I hope you guys are enjoying this series out of 1 Corinthians 1:30. And this is all part of a teaching we're about to release in a different format. So just want to put that out there. Keep your eyes open for what's to come. We're expecting and good things. We're expecting good things to come. And we just hope this is blessing you. Our goal is always to edify and upbuild. And some of this, I mean, if you've been in church for 5 minutes, you probably have heard a lot of what we're saying. I mean, this is the simplest form of the gospel. But I think the gospel is meant to be simple. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Jesus was able to convey it to, you know, simple people, fishermen, and they became really, really effective Christians because they grabbed hold of it, and they understood some things about themselves. They understood that they were in Christ. And so I'm going to start today by saying again, you are in Christ Jesus. Guys, I want to keep on focusing on that fact. And really, that's what we have to remind ourselves of daily. We're gonna get into this today, and we're gonna start talking about how we see ourselves. Remember, we've already talked about the fact that you are in Christ. You're literally indwelling in his body, which means everything you see, you need to see through him. External circumstances, relationships with people, you see through Jesus as though he were the one interacting. What happens when you look in the mirror is that you should see Jesus. And so that's what we're going to get into a little bit today. 1 Corinthians 1:30, we're going to skip it a little bit so we can make the point. It says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us righteousness. Last week we talked about the wisdom from God. This week, who became for us righteousness. He became for us. He was the incarnation of righteousness for us. Last week, we focused on Christ being the manifest wisdom of God for us. That by revealing himself to us as our Messiah, in doing so, and through the finished work of the cross, he becomes for us righteousness. He becomes for us sanctification, and he becomes for us redemption. And all three of those things are really parts of him becoming the wisdom from God for us. And so as today, we're going to look at us in Christ and Christ who became for us righteousness. And I want to first unpack the term righteousness a little bit, because we can take righteousness two different ways, and they're both correct. If you've heard me speak before, especially in the discipleship classes that we put out, I talked a lot about how God's righteousness is really his will toward men or for men. And that's so true, even in terms of when we speak of ourselves as being righteous, it's always got to do with how we interact with men. So when Jesus becomes righteousness for us, he's becoming God's will for us. That's so, so correct. But the second way that we can interpret righteousness is a right standing or being justified before God. Well, God's will is for us to be justified and have a right standing before him. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth and going to the cross and rising 3 days later, that we would be justified before God. I say they're both correct, but I want to really just kind of open it up. Again, we're going to talk about understanding what justified means, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going back through defining propitiation. We've done that We've done that a couple times, actually. But I do want to read Hebrews 2:17 and use this scripture to kind of open up the full meaning of what it means when he becomes our righteousness. So therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He had to have the full human experience. And he did. He had the full human experience as he was tested and tried in all things. At the same time, he had the fullness of the indwelling Godhead. And in that place, he becomes the propitiation of our sins. As it says here, he's merciful because he understands us. He makes provision for us because he loves us. And he makes atonement for us because he alone can. I wanna just go through that again. He's merciful because he understands us. He makes provision for us because he loves us. And he makes atonement for us because he alone can. Hebrews talks about him being the high priest. And what we have to understand is that in terms of the Jewish community, the high priest was in charge of atoning for the sins of the people, and he would go in before God. And there's a whole lot to that I'm not going to talk about. But the high priest also had to atone for his own sins. We have a better high priest who never actually sinned himself, but became our sins so that he could atone for them with his own perfect blood. Oftentimes in church, we hear phrases like Jesus paid the price, or another popular one that we hear is that the charges against me were dropped. And the idea behind the price being paid is I'm guilty as charged, but Jesus paid the price of my sentence. The idea behind the charges are dropped is that there's not enough evidence to convict me. But the idea behind propitiation is I was guilty, the sentence was death. Jesus came in, took my guilt on himself as though he had committed the sin, and then paid the price with his life, and the charges are not just dropped, but I'm actually found not guilty, and I'm exonerated. Exonerated. Given back a place of honor. Justified is not about getting away with the crime. I'm going to say that again. Justified isn't about getting away with a crime. You didn't commit the crime. Jesus said, I did the crime. I'm paying the price. And you're found not guilty. Becoming justified is becoming just as if I'd never sinned. The will of God is to see you brand new, not defined by a past, but secured by a future in your present. I'm going to say that again. The will of God is to see you brand new, not defined by a past, but secured by a future in your present. As you live in Christ, your hearts and minds are safeguarded. We're going back to Philippians 4. In Christ, he became righteousness for you so that the accusations of the devil, the accusations he brings against you, remember, Revelation tells us he's the accuser of the brethren. He becomes righteousness for you as you're in him so that those accusations won't damage your mind and how you see yourself before God. Hebrews 10:17, God says their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If God doesn't remember your sins, it's time for you to forget about them too. in Christ the righteous, our sins and failures cease to exist. He doesn't remember them anymore. It's as if they'd never happened, just as if I'd never sinned. The one who is love, okay? The one who is love, God is love. So when 1 Corinthians 13:5 says love keeps no record of being wronged, that's a statement about God. Love keeps no record of being wronged. I hear people talking about how you can push God too far. No, you can't. You cannot push God too far as long as you're aiming to live in Christ. If you say, I'm jumping out of the boat, I'm no longer in Christ, I'm going to live for myself, I'm going to try to swim it. All right? We use that imagery of Christ being our boat. You jump out of the boat and try to swim in the storm. You're no longer trying to be in Christ. You're no longer trying to be righteous. Now there's no longer a sacrifice for you. But in Christ, there's a sacrifice that's paid the price once and for all time. There's a remission of sin. Now there's no longer a sacrifice for sins. And the one who is love keeps no record of being wronged. How you see yourself is so important. If you see yourself the way God sees you, then you'll live a life the way God designed you to live. If I look in the mirror with Jesus just in my heart, hear me right, okay? Because this is terminology that we use in the church. Just accept Jesus into your heart. And this is a hard one to break, okay? But nowhere in the scriptures does it say to accept Jesus into your heart. It does say Christ in you is the hope of glory. But you're not supposed to have Christ in your heart. You're supposed to go live in Christ's heart. If I look in the mirror with Jesus in my heart, but all I see is a dirty sinner always trying to get clean and modify behavior, I'll always struggle to live different because I won't see different. If you look in the mirror and you see yourself, and you're really trying to just keep Jesus in your heart, you'll always see the image of who you always were. You're not called to do that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. I've been co-crucified, and now I've been resurrected to new life, a new creation in Christ. If any man is in Christ, that's a scripture. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. If you're a new creation in Christ, what you were defined by in the past no longer defines you. What you behold is what you become. What changes when we see ourselves in Christ is that we look in the mirror and we see Jesus. We're in his body. Everything we see is through the filter of Christ. He should be what we see when we look in the mirror because he paid for you to possess you inside of him. When we look in the mirror and we see Jesus, we'll see the value he placed on us and we'll see what he accomplished in us and through the cross. You have been found not guilty. You have been found not guilty. You've been exonerated and you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It's not about your actions. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus already did. Today, I just want to encourage you as you meditate on this, and I pray this is blessing you, because this is really something that we as the body of Christ, as believers who live in Christ, we need to stay meditating on this. He didn't make you righteous for one moment that could then be messed up. He became righteousness so that as long as you stay in him, you stay righteous. Not because of what you did, but because of what he did. And so today, I just want to encourage you, go in prayer and thank Jesus for that accomplishment. Thank Jesus for what he did on the cross. Thank him that they didn't just drop the charges, they found you not guilty. And that you've been put back in a place of honor before God because of that. And that you are not a sinner. You are a saint. Come on, guys. This is hard stuff, especially if this is what you learned in church. But we have to see this. This is so clear. It's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30. You are in Christ who became for us righteousness. He became righteousness for us that as we live in him, we would maintain righteousness. Grace will cover it. Love's not keeping a record of being wronged. As long as you're aiming for Christ, as long as you're staying in him, as long as he's your focus, what you behold is what you become, and what I want to behold is Christ. I want the mind of Christ. I want the image of Christ. I want it for myself. The only way I can have it is to stay in him. The only way I'll experience peace in my life that surpasses understanding, and the only way that I'll keep my mind and my heart safeguarded, is to stay here in him. So guys, keep that attitude of gratitude and thank him for what he's done for you today, and that it's something that we can't affect as long as our aim is to stay in him. Until we talk again, be blessed.